Talks. Stand up. Stand up.
Stand up. Stand up. Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the June 29th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. I've been talking with my VOA colleague, Mukbil Yabaro, about the recent National Basketball Association draft. French phenom Victor Wembanyama, nicknamed Wemby, was the number one pick by the San Antonio Spurs. I asked Mukbil about the overall strength of the draft.
It's been a really, really strong draft, and just running by the top five picks, obviously Victor Wembanyama goes number one to the Spurs. Brandon Miller from Alabama goes second to the Hornets. He's a great pickup, real stretch type of player. Reminds me very much of Paul George-like game. He will be instantly impactful for that Charlotte Hornets team.
They have great players there already. I can say for me, I can bring just a winner. I'm willing to make all the winning plays as far as on or off the court. A winner.
Scoot Henderson, who was playing in the G League Ignite, so he's another pro, right? He had a pro year. He played really well for the G League Ignite, and he will be playing for the Blazers.
I'm the most prepared player in the draft. You know, that's what I say. So the fact that I went there for 2 years is just taught me so much, you know, on the court as well, but, you know, a lot of things off the court.
Number four and number five, two young brothers, twin brothers, Amen Thompson and Osor Thompson.
Both, the Thompson twins
both played for the Overtime Elite, which is a new league that has just been developed by the Overtime team, where they have six teams in rotation. And they say that this is the best trajectory for young players to go to the NBA.
now, Mukbil, I'm a little older than you, and I remember this British pop band from the 80s called the Thompson Twins. But I know the Rockets and the Pistons hope these twins will sing a different tune, yes. But they sound like very talented young men.
Very, very talented. I'm super excited about this draft, especially this top five. One could make the argument if those two young men don't go the overtime route that they may have even actually went up a little higher in the draft. But hey, top five is top five.
And if I look down a little bit, I see the Wizards, based here in Washington. They were able to get one of Wemby's teammates in the draft, Koulibaly.
Bilal Koulibaly is an immense talented young player that was, as you mentioned, a teammate of Wembanyama. We're going to be excited to see what he does for the Washington Wizards. And as we know, the Wizards are also on this rebuild, having offloaded, you know, legendary Bradley Beal. Kristaps Porzingis is out.
Yes.
You know, they're making sure that the cap is huge. And now Jordan Poole comes from the Washington Wizards. Will it be a pool party?
I love it. And let's not forget CP3 Chris Paul ends up with the Warriors now.
Man.
At 38 years of age.
Chris Paul and Steph Curry on the same team. This is going to be interesting. I wonder how this works out. But we're going to be, it will be an exciting summer league, first off, before we even get, you know, to the league. Summer league is going to be exciting in Vegas.
Finally, Mukbil, I think Wemby might be the first French player ever selected number one in the NBA draft. I know we have Rudy Gobert from France, another top NBA player, but what does his selection and other international players mean in terms of how quickly this league has become so international?
We really see it, because if we just look at, you know, last few MVPs, right? You have Joel Embiid, you know, an African national, you know, he's from Cameroon. You have Giannis, two-time MVP from Greece.
Ties to Nigeria.
You have Jokic. you know, from Serbia. So who was just also just won his first NBA title and is the finals MVP of this season with the Denver Nuggets that will be back next season. But yeah, it just goes to show you this entire league is moving in a direction that has become super global. And it's an exciting time to see in real time what is happening. As we covered in the past as well, the NBA Basketball Africa League is bringing immense talent to the NBA as well. And that will be a new portal directly from the NBA Basketball Africa League and the NBA African Academy straight into the league. Next few seasons, we will be on the lookout for that. I believe there was also a player that went, a Senegalese player that just got drafted, Mohamed Guyai, who got drafted by the Celtics but was traded to the Hawks.
Okay.
Oh, no, he was drafted by the Hornets, traded to the Hawks.
Okay.
Yeah, he was playing in Washington State last year and was going to be a teammate of Ruben Chinyelu that we had the,
right,
the opportunity
to
speak with this past season. But I'm sure Ruben's excited to see even somebody that was on his team that could have potentially played with him go to the league. That's going to excite him up to make sure that, you know, he does what he has to do for the Washington State Cougars.
Muckville, one final thought. I know you give the NBA commissioner, Adam Silver, pretty high marks for what he's done in his administrative role. What about the NBA holding a regular season game in Africa?
Wow.
Why not? I mean, they've been holding these games in Mexico, in Europe. Why not Africa?
I think that's the next move, honestly, Sonny. Wow. Maybe we got to pitch that to Adam Silver. But I think that will be the next step for them, as we are seeing the globalization of the game, playing in Mexico, playing in Europe, having these games played all over.
Asia.
Honestly, I think the BK Arena, you know, would be a great, great spot, as we know that is an amazing facility, a high quality facility. I would not be shocked if that is the next move for the NBA to really get the African fan base behind, because they are super excited about the game. So to have an NBA exhibition game played there would be amazing.
Muckbill Yabaro, thank you, my man.
Thank you so much for having me, Sonny.
Follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook, Twitter, and at voaafrica.com. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. My Twitter handle is at VOA Sunny Sports. And if you go to voaafrica.com, you can listen online to the Sunny Side of Sports, as well as past episodes. Check out voaafrica.com. In African youth basketball, Nigeria's boys and girls teams have qualified for the FIBA Africa Under 16 Championship next month in Tunisia. The Nigerian teams booked their tickets at the recent FIBA Under 16 Zone 3 tournament in Accra, Ghana. To find out more, Iron Mike Mbonye spoke with the president of FIBA Africa Zone 3, Colonel Sam Amadou, retired.
Well, the Under 16 tournament that took place in Accra was a qualifying tournament for the African Under 16 tournament that will be coming up in Tunisia from the 11th to the 17th of July. That competition in itself serves as qualifier to the Under 17 Junior World Championship next year. So what happened, the teams from Zone 3 went to Accra to play for the sole slots. Five teams participated, three in the boys category and two in the girls. The games were very, very exciting, especially in the boys category. Nigeria beat Cote d'Ivoire
Cote d'Ivoire beat Ghana, and Ghana beat Nigeria. The team that qualified was determined on the head-to-head. For the girls, one-sided affair, because the Nigerian girls showed that they had been playing for a while, while the Ghanaian team, it was evident that they were just new players. So overall, the competition was very interesting. And for us in the zone, it marked our first competition since after the COVID break.
For the FIBA championships scheduled for Tunisia, how many teams are expected to qualify that will represent Africa?
Two teams from the boys category and two teams from the girls category. So total is four. African teams have been doing their best these past years. African teams are not ready to be pushed over anymore.
That's Colonel Sam Amadou, retired, the president of FIBA Africa Zone 3. And Colonel Sam was speaking with Iron Mike Mbonye in Lagos, Nigeria. Colonel Sam attended the recent FIBA Under 16 Zone 3 tournament in Accra, Ghana, and so did this lady.
Well, hey, sporty greetings, everyone. This is Ann O'Neill, a former Division I academic and athletic All-American basketball player and WNBA player, presently a coach with the Jordan Wara Foundation. And you are listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, Ann. From basketball to netball, Zimbabwe has named its team for next month's Netball World Cup in Cape Town, South Africa. Michael Cariati reports from Harare, Zimbabwe.
Coach Ropafatso Mtsauki has gone for experience rather than youth, and has included seven players who were at the 2019 World Cup finals in Liverpool, England. He has also included three foreign-based players. Captain Felistus Kwangwa, who is based in England, as well as the pair of Joyce Takaidza and Nyasha Makunde, who play club netball in Australia. Mtsauki says he's happy with his player assessment and has kept faith with his trusted players, because experience is the key to success at such high-level competitions, as experiments tend to backfire.
We managed to assess the players and create combinations, so it was a process, but we managed to have a very good team, and this team, it shows it's a very good one.
The Zimbabwean coach has faith in his team and believes their chances are as good as all the other teams who are making the trip to Cape Town.
So far, our preparations are going well. We can't complain to anything right now. The team is responding very well.
The Gems are also not lacking support, with the Sports and Recreation Commission announcing that they are releasing $60,000 for the team's preparations. Permanent Secretary Thokozile Tshepo of Zimbabwe's Ministry of Sport also revealed they are going to take to Cape Town all the players who were in camp but were not selected in the final team. The Zimbabwe Netball Association has given Mtsauki and his team the target of reaching at least the semifinals, or else they would be regarded as failures. The association's president, Letsia Chipandu, believes the Gems have had enough preparation and is straight to the point on what the association expects.
We are a better prepared team as compared to 2019. This is their target, number four. We see them lifting four fingers. They want to end up at number four in the world.
At the last Netball World Cup in 2019, Zimbabwe made the whole world sit up and take notice with impressive showings before settling for eighth position overall. The Gems are in a challenging group that features Fiji, Tonga, and former world champions Australia, whom they play in their opening match on July 28. Although the coach and the Netball Federation are aiming high, one of the players, Progress Moyo, is realistic, saying they will do their best to achieve good results.
So for now, we just do our best at training, and then we go into our best in our games.
If everything goes according to plan, the Zimbabwean team will play three friendly matches against Barbados, Scotland, and Wales which have also qualified for the World Cup before the competition begins in Cape Town. The World Cup begins on July 28 and will end on August 6 with South Africa, Malawi and Uganda also representing Africa. For the Sony side of sports, this is Michael Cariati in Harare, Zimbabwe.
Thanks, Michael, and good luck to the Gems of Zimbabwe at the Netball World Cup.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week. Right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. The Voice of America's English to Africa service will officially celebrate its 60th anniversary on Friday, August 4th. And after hearing Heather Maxwell's lovely voice, it reminds me, Music Time in Africa is the VOA's longest-running English-language program. That's right. It was founded by the late, great Leo the Music Man Sarkeesian in 1965. Music Time in Africa, such a big part of the English to Africa Service's 60th anniversary. Here in the USA, Dominican pitcher Domingo Herman of the New York Yankees has put his name in the Major League Baseball record books. The AP's Ryan Leong reports from Oakland, California.
Domingo Herman authored the 24th perfect game in baseball history as the Yankees beat the A's 11-0. This is Yankees catcher Kyle Higashioka.
It's only happened, 23 other times, and it's just, I still haven't fully processed it, but it's just a, I'm so happy for Domingo.
It's the first perfect game pitched since Felix Hernandez on August 15th, 2012, and the last Yankees perfecto was by David Cone on July 18th, 1999. The A's hadn't been no-hit since the Orioles did it on July 13th, 1991. Ryan Leong, Oakland.
Thanks, Ryan. And let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Domingo Herman, who threw the 24th perfect game in Major League Baseball history.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makosa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Around the clock, the Voice of America keeps you in touch with the latest news. Tune in at the top of every hour, every day of the week for the 5-Minute VOA Newscast. We bring you reports from our correspondents and interviews with newsmakers from across the world. Give us 5 minutes, and we'll give you the world. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. The U.S. Women's National Soccer Team is bidding for an unprecedented third consecutive title at the FIFA Women's World Cup, which kicks off July 20th in Australia and New Zealand. VOA's Gwen Ooten has this feature profile of the American squad. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. The United States is home to the number one ranked women's soccer team in the world, and the two-time defending World Cup champions are on a mission to clinch the title for an historic three straight tournaments. Last week, head coach Vlatko Andonovski announced the names of his 23-player squad, a roster led by soccer stars Megan Rapinoe and Alex Morgan, who are both set to compete in their fourth Women's World Cup. On Tuesday, the two women joined their fellow teammates for a media day press conference in the U.S. state of California. And team forward Rapinoe told reporters she believes this year's tournament will be a game changer.
This World Cup feels almost like a, you know, show up and show out kind of vibe. I think it's going to be incredible. I said before, kind of paradigm shift globally. I mean, I think we're having it a lot in the U.S., but I think just globally, you've seen what's happened since last World Cup. There's so many examples of this, and it feels like this is like a paradigm shift or a moment we'll look back to and say like nothing was ever the same after this Women's World Cup and what we're going to be able to do. And all bets on the Women's World Cup. Money's in on that. I just think it's going to be an incredible event.
And Rapinoe adds that the upcoming soccer showcase could also launch global business opportunities for women's sports.
We've always taken the opportunity to show exactly who we are, not just our team, but the women's game in general. But it feels like a real opportunity to kind of like blow the lid off just in terms of fanfare and media and sponsorships and the sort of larger business around this sport. I think everyone is sort of hip to the game now and understands that this is, you know, not somewhere that's just like, oh, we should cheer for the Women's World Cup because that's the right thing to do. It's like, yeah, this is actually a terrible business move if you're not getting in on it, if you're not investing, if you're not putting resources to it, and if you're not tuning in, you're sort of missing out on a massive cultural moment in so many ways. I think we know that for bottom line, you know, equality is actually good in a shocking turn of events. Equality is actually good for business. And, you know, I think that that's something special that the women's game has. And this feels like, you know, the sort of premier event. I mean, it's the biggest women's sporting event in the world by far.
Rapinoe is referring to a FIFA decision announced earlier this month that guarantees each athlete at least $30,000 for competing in the upcoming Women's World Cup tournament. That figure includes players from the 16 teams that do not advance beyond the group stage. And members on the title-winning team will each receive $270,000. The prize money for the women's tournament totals $110 million, an increase of more than three times the prize pool in 2019. FIFA's groundbreaking move is a direct result of collective action that was taken in 2022 when the Global Soccer Players Union, FIFPro, drafted a letter calling for improved conditions and an increase in prize money for women's World Cup teams. That letter was signed by over 150 women's national team players and sent to FIFA President Gianni Infantino. FIFPro has stated that soccer's world governing body has listened to the voice of the players. And during this week's media event, USA World Cup veteran and team forward Alex Morgan also praised FIFA's new reforms.
FIFA has actually done, surprisingly, coming out of my mouth, a very good job at increasing the prize money. We still have a ways to go, but having them direct payments to the players is huge. I mean, it's a life-changing thing for some of these players entering the tournament. So coming away with each player making at least $30,000 is huge, because a lot of federations, usually that money goes to federations and those players don't see any or much of that money. With U.S. Soccer, we have in our contract equal prize money between the men and the women, which is a shared pot, and that's the only federation in the world that does that. So we're very happy that we fought for that and were able to attain that. Now it's up to FIFA and the other federations to do their part. And, I'm very pleased to see what FIFA has done, and I look forward to seeing more good news along the way, this World Cup and in future World Cups, as we narrow and eventually equalize the prize money.
FIFPro is now urging FIFA to enforce equal conditions for players taking part in qualification for the next Women's World Cup. The U.S. Women's National Team roster is an enticing mix of veterans and rookies going into this year's tournament. Five players, Megan Rapinoe, Alex Morgan, midfielder Julie Ertz, defender Kelly O'Hara, and goalkeeper Alyssa Nayer, were part of the championship team in 2015 and 2019. The squad features 14 new faces, including 21-year-old Trinity Rodman, who says she models her game after her famous father, former NBA champion Dennis Rodman. For the past few years, head coach Vlatko Andonovski has constructed his team into a lineup of talent that he says could clinch a record third straight World Cup title.
When we talk about World Cup, I don't think there's an athlete, or actually there is a soccer player or a coach, that does not dream of a World Cup. If you're a soccer player, you dream to play in the World Cup. If you're a coach, you dream to coach. So it is a dream come true for me personally. And obviously myself, together with the staff, will do anything possible to help this team make history. We want to do it for the players. We want to do it for the team. We want to do it for the community. We want to do it for this country. We want to do something that has never been done before. We believe in the quality of the team. We believe in the support that we have, and we think that we have what it takes to make it possible.
The defending champion USA is a favorite to win it all in Australia and New Zealand, but Alex Morgan acknowledges her team will face some challenging competition on the road to the World Cup title.
I think it's tough for us to put even more target on our backs by saying we're a favorite or not. So, I mean, I think that at the end of the day, we already have a target on our back coming in as reigning World Cup champs. But there's some teams that have done incredibly well over the last 4 years, have made a name for themselves to compete for this trophy. And so I think I'm very optimistic with our chances with this roster. And I think that you guys can probably write a story from there and decide whether or not that you think we're favorites or not.
The United States have been drawn in Group E alongside the Netherlands, playoff winner Portugal, and World Cup debutants Vietnam, USA's opening match opponents, when their World Cup campaign kicks off in Auckland, New Zealand on July 20th. And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Finally, action resumes Friday at the Under-23 Africa Cup of Nations football tournament in Morocco. Morocco will host Congo Brazzaville, and Guinea will go against Ghana on Friday. Now, the Moroccans have already booked their ticket to the semifinals. In results Wednesday, Egypt edged Mali 1-0, and Niger beat Gabon by that same 1-0 scoreline. And that wraps up the June 29th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.